We'll see. So, okay. Let's try. I'm ready for you guys if you are. And I start recording. Right, I think we're good to go.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good afternoon.
You are in UK, so you're like ahead of us. And I'm gonna say welcome. Hi everyone, welcome to the bilingual channel and podcast, A New Wind of Renouveau in French. My name is Marguerite. I am your host. So today we will have a great conversation. We are three. I don't usually do three conversations with two guests that I have. I have Victor here and David Major as well. And we will be talking about, what are we talking about today? How to go back in Africa as diasporans. So, and what are the challenges and what are the challenges and excitements and anything, maybe ideas and anything that can be they can give some insights and they can also give some advices to the Africans and their descendant or friends of Africa looking to relocate or repatriate to Africa. So, and I enjoy today because we have different geographically, we have different background and guests. Victor is in UK. He's a podcast host. He does incredible things with his podcast. He talks about Africa as well, and he's from Nigeria. And I am from originally from Senegal, and I live in the US. And Davier is African American, living in the US. He's never been in Africa. So I think here today we will have very diverse perspective, and it'll be really, really interesting to hear both sides. And I'm just excited. It's more like a conversation today than, you know, question and answers. So how you doing today? How you doing, guys? Let's start with Victor. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm great. I'm doing great. Not too bad. It's been a very eventful week, and I'm happy to be here. Everyone is looking great here. Thank you very much, guys, for having me.
You are so welcome. You are so welcome, Victor. And I have a few questions about, because I like the listeners to know who you are, what you do in depth. So we'll get to you a little bit later on. And how about you, Davia? How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, Margarita. Had to, shake that sleep off for good. Then I had to take care of some things this morning, but it's been a great day so far. Going real good.
Awesome.
All right.
Awesome. Very nice to hear you, to have you both here today. And Victor, why don't you tell us what time it is over there? You said good afternoon, right?
The time now is past 3 UK time, which is British Standard Time. So yeah, I'm in London at the moment. So I live in London and as well as Lagos, Nigeria. That's me.
Wow, that's a long hike. Like it's a long way from Nigeria. And how is London? I feel like London has always been to me a super busy city, like a little bit cold, you know. How is it there in London?
Yeah, funny enough that you mentioned a little bit cold. Right now it's raining in London in the middle of summer. It's raining. So there's this usual thing that says that see, the weather and let's say the women, they're not predictable. So this minute it's very, very hot. The next
What?
minute,
Did you
the
say,
next minute
did you
it's
just
cold.
sneak
So
that
we never
sentence
know.
in?
That's the London thing. Never know. But
Okay.
the past few days was really, really hot.
Mm.
And yesterday evening, today it's been raining all through.
No, wow. And
Yeah.
Major Davier, how is it in Atlanta?
Here in Atlanta, it's in the morning, it starts off hot. So, for the most part, It's smothering, honestly. It's like super hot. Like, but it's been raining off and on, which makes it humid at the end of the day. So it's not sticky hot. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. So, but it's not too bad. It's not too bad. You see that you go out in the morning or in the afternoon. Gotcha. You got to do it like that.
Gotcha. Oh, wow. Okay. So, and how is it growing up, Ian? Because you told me you were from Mississippi originally, right?
Yeah. And born in Mississippi. Born in Mississippi. And so basically in the South, primarily my whole life, you know, and Mississippi, Tennessee. I lived in Memphis, Tennessee for primary, you know, most of my life. Mm-hmm. So I went to plenty of other places as well. Been to Virginia, been to Texas for a small amount of time. But for the most part, just Atlanta, Georgia, and Memphis, Tennessee, for those that know about those places.
Gotcha. Yeah. Oh, wow. So, I was just trying to... That's really very interesting, because how we all, like, shared this bond for Africa or from Africa, and then with circumstances and life choices for some of us, and circumstances mostly, I'll say, we just end up in very far away from Africa. So what are your thoughts about that?
That's basically what it is. We're all over. We're scattered all over, right? That's just the three of us. But as we all know, we're all over the world. And for us to still have that same bond, that same connection, you know, that same calling, at least for me, you know, it's really just the question, you know, inquiring. I can honestly say most people in my family probably have never been to Africa. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so it's almost like I'm taking that first step. And but at the end of the day, it's because that's where you truly know this is where it all began. This is where you come from, and it's time to know and connect yourself with the truth and your history, and you know your people, you know, and so on. You know, it has to be done eventually, right? Somebody has to do it. It's just been it's just been a long disconnection, you know.
That is so true, and. How about you, Victor? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, when David mentioned this connection just now, I was like, okay. Yeah, so many of us are really, really, really disconnected from Africa. So that is the bond that we have right now. And we are here now discussing about Africa. So I'm originally from Nigeria. So And due to choice, not circumstance in my case, I happen to be here in London, England. And gonna take 1 year, 2 years, 3 years now, 2 decades. You get? So that constant, I'm gonna move back. Just like kicking the tire forward. Now I have kids. You know, I can't just pick my bag and move. So I had to a couple of years ago, I had to start planning my exit strategy to go back. So I started doing one or two investments. I'm try. I failed. But you know, that thing never left me. You know, I'm always trying to do something in Africa, build something in Nigeria. So I'm really comfortable in Nigeria. I'm very happy when I'm there. Very, very happy when I'm in Nigeria. Yeah. So I've been to a few places, but every time I go back home, I'm like Superman. The sun, everything just makes me feel great, like I can do anything. The freedom,
and that's beautiful.
The freedom, I can't measure the freedom. Again, I was sorry to take this conversation long. I was doing an interview yesterday. Uh-huh. She's from Sierra Leone, but now Sierra Leone now lives in Ghana, and the smile on her face I just told her point blank, you can only get this smile in Africa. There's this smile that you smile in Africa.
That is
you
so
don't
beautiful.
Know.
What you're saying is beautiful.
Yes. You can't. You don't see that smile anyhow. You just know that when you're speaking to someone who is in Africa and they smile, you know, oh yes, you can beat this. So
there is no restriction. It's just like that smile.
Yeah.
Look, that takes an entire face to smile, and it's like there's no restriction.
It comes deep from your heart.
I
know.
Oh,
your gosh, heart
that's beautiful.
Smile. You know that, yes. Your unadulterated happiness. You see that happiness? I saw the happiness in her and I recognized that immediately because whenever I'm in Lagos and someone calls me and when they hear me speak, they say, oh, yes, you're back home. I say, yes, I'm in Lagos now.
I got you. That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. And I lived in France for many years, and I lived with my family. Most of my family still live in France. My mom, my dad, my brother, my sister. I'm the only one in the States. Don't ask me why. But when I was living in Senegal, oh my gosh, like that sense of freedom that you talk about, just that, you know, because you have that sense of freedom from the peace of mind and the knowledge that you are the number, you make the number. Then I didn't realize it. But now when I think, why was I so happy then? I'm not miserable now, but it's just, there are boundaries to how I live here. There are boundaries, they're invisible and they're physical as well. I can see them, I can sense them. So when I am in Africa and I'm walking down the road and I'm like, whatever, I'm just me, you know? And that sense of yourself and it's just that you're as if you were part of the elements, you were just part of the nature, you belong. You don't even have to question whether or not you belong. And I think that's within us, no matter the disconnection, deep inside you, we all yearn for that belonging, like that connection to something, to a place. And yes, it has to be a place. I've seen these people saying, home is where your hearts belong. It's like a saying. And though I absolutely enjoyed and loved the United States, and I love many places that I had been around the world, the only place I feel like rooted as my soul and my person is in Africa, it's in Senegal. It is just, it's like as if I had lived there for 10 different, like for 10 past lives. And every time that I go to Africa, I'm like, this is where like my spirit is wrapped around that place. And it's even physical. I have this place, I'm not gonna name the place, but it's an island that I lived on. It's like, when I get there, it's just like my spirit, it's just like something is like getting out of me. It's like this, it's like I'm part of the nature, part of the elements. So that deep connection that I have to Africa, I wish that for every single human being. And I wish that more for our brothers and sisters who had been so far away from Africa for so long. And Davia, I just cannot wait to take you to Africa, because I know that part of you will recognize history, will recognize connection, will recognize the spirits that you come from. Because most of the time, we don't really go back into our spiritual beings. But you cannot be a human being if you do not fully acknowledge your spirit, and your spirit will recognize Africa. It'll recognize a place. So, oh my gosh, I got carried over with this spiritual thing. Anyway, this is why I'm like, I cannot stop looking for Africa. No matter where I am, I'm always looking for Africa within the people and within the food, the things, the systems, and everything. Because It is Africa. It has to be Africa for me.
I completely agree. I'm looking forward to doing that too. I need that feeling, y'all. You know, I need that. I need that in my life right now.
You know. The funny thing is when you mention, for David, you're right. We are scattered all over the place. We are global. You get. So we're over 200 million everywhere, including the Americas, so Asia, we're just everywhere. And the frustrating thing when you mention, oh, have you been to Africa before? You see, the defense mechanism comes out. I will try to like, no, what am I going to do there? What am I going to do there? These people, it's just that frustration and the yearning of the spirit that wants to go back, actually. But circumstances, it just like rains its head and try to like push you back and just put the person back. You see that, because when I mentioned, oh, you know, we've moved to Nigeria now. So really, I say yes. So what are you still doing here? What do you mean, what am I still doing here? You get, I can come whenever I like, I can go whenever I like, but that is where I live now. Mm-hmm. So really, so you mean you can go and you can actually have a house there, have a home there, have business there and move and start. Of course, who says that if you move that you've cut ties with whatever you're doing in the US or the UK or Paris or where? No, nobody said that.
Yeah.
If you want to move, you can move and stay there. Don't you go on holidays? Yes, I do. So what is the difference? You can live there and travel whenever you like. You can still do your business there and travel whenever you like. You can still do same. You can do your job there remotely. So what are you talking about? Visually, what are you talking about? So it's not like you're moving, carry your house or, and just like cutting ties and just go into the deep black, the deep black with the beyond. That nobody's going to talk to you anymore. No.
It doesn't work like that. No, you definitely will have this connection to your friends, whether they are in Europe, and you can visit. You can take a break from Africa and say, hey, you know what? Next year, I'm going to go for an entire year back to the U.S., for example, and, you know, connect with what I have there, because you do have a spiritual and physical connection to even UK, Connecticut, or Atlanta. So, mm-hmm. So for us in different levels, and I will also answer to your question because this is a conversation. So what are your reasons for wanting to immigrate in Africa, whether it's temporarily or permanently? Why don't we start with that, V?
So the question was, what are my reasons?
What are your reasons for wanting to visit Africa, immigrate? I'm going to say immigrate because it's more than a visit, because I know we are looking for just more than just a visit.
Well, Marguerite, I could, you know, you can go on for hours and hours of answering that question. It's but me personally, everyone probably has their own particular reason and purpose. But my reason in particular is to reconnect. First of all, I want to reconnect. Growing up in America, honestly, let's just be honest. This is a Western culture. It's the European system. That is what I've been embedded in my entire life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So to just be honest, knowing only the Western and European civilization or system in every form and fashion, I wanted to actually reconnect with my African heritage and culture and civilization and system. And so, you know, in depth, like the conversation we just had previously, in depth, I want that spiritual connection. You know, I want that true. I want to finally know. You know what I mean? You have to know. This is a true, not. I don't want to say confusion, but we honestly, a lot of Africans that have been in America their entire life, have no idea. They've never experienced Africa. So that's my purpose, just to reconnect physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, in every aspect that I can. And second would be to contribute. Being of the diaspora, of course, we have that negative side to not really knowing any you know, a lot of our history and things of that nature, not taught of, you know, the Western, not taught from the Western perspective. Everything has been out of a book written by a white man. You know what I mean? That's everything that we, you know, other than now in the modern age, you can educate yourself, you can indulge yourself in books and things of that nature, online access to everything, right? But it's still nothing like going to go see for yourself. But that's the good side of being diaspora. And there is a good side of being a diaspora, absolutely, which is more likely financially. If you've been responsible, you can have financial power. You can have financial leverage. You know what I mean? You have not only the perspective of the Western world, of the European world, in business and in a lot of other aspects as well, but you more likely have a financial situation that can be used to really leverage and assist and to, you know, invest when you return. So, and that is, I feel like, just as important as reconnecting. It's time that's an automatic. It has to, you can't come and reconnect and not contribute. You know, you can't contribute and not reconnect. They're both hand in hand. Once you reconnect, you're going to want to contribute. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's my two purposes, my two reasons. And, you know, I've been thinking about it for quite some time. And who knows, who would have thought, you know, this would have came along, you know what I mean? And it's almost time to get that started, you know what I mean? So, you know, don't care about no pandemic or none of that. You know, let's go. If we can, you know, God's will, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. And what are your reasons, Victor, to wanting to immigrate back?
Yeah, my reasons was straight. It's very straight forward. It's freedom. Uh-huh. That's my reason, freedom. Because there's some stuff that I need to do or that I want to do, but in my current place of residence in the UK, you can't really do that. You can't really express yourself as an entrepreneur on that level, because there's so many institutional barriers that kind of like blocks you. You can't. There's no. Everything has been built, kind of. And you don't have that freedom to do what you need to, what you actually want to do in the UK. Yeah. Fine, they say there's so much opportunities out there. I agree, but these opportunities are already prepared. You can't go beyond. You can't start. You can start on a platform that has already been prepared. But I want to be in a place where the freedom for me to choose the type of industry that I want to go to, I want to go into, the freedom to move about the way I want to, the freedom to create whatever I want to. I can't go down the A46 or the expressway to buy a piece of land and start building a farm. I'll need to jump through so many hurdles. But if I'm back home, if I'm in Africa, I can say, okay, you know, I have a piece of land, I can start farming. I have a piece of land, I can just start building my house the way I want it without. Check this out. Yesterday, on my same conversation, she painted a house yellow. Uh-huh. Yellow and white. It was really, really beautiful in Ghana. The house color was yellow and white. I'm like, come on, man, you're flexing. She said, no, that is how I just liked it. And I just looked out of my window and everywhere was just same color. You get? So those kind of freedom is not here. And this kind of like reshaping your subconscious level, it kind of like molds you to be very, very smart and start thinking small. Don't go beyond your boundaries. Like, your car park is small. My house in Nigeria, my car park, you can park like 7 or 8 cars. You get my house.
London is tiny. London,
so this is the kind of freedom I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You get. And secondly, I want my children to like know that this is where they come from, because they can easily get into the system and just go. So I want my kids, they've started to love Africa already. So I am very grateful for that. Thank God for that. I've been taking them back now, apart from this year now. We've been going back to Nigeria now for the past 4 or 5 years, every summer for 6 weeks, 6 weeks, 6 weeks, 6 weeks. We go there, they love it, they enjoy it. So I just want them to know that this is where they came from. And even though I'm gone, they should still like pass that to their kids, for them to know this is where we are from. So that's the two main reasons, freedom and for my kids to know that this is what's going on in Africa.
Wow, those are really powerful responses. Oh my gosh, I love it. And wow, and you got me thinking too. And so mostly I join you, Victor. I hear you. It's my number one reason will be to go back to Africa, will be building. Because it's this part of my personality that I want to fix something. Not fix something, anything. Or I want to start something and I want to build something to shape. And that's what I want to do. And from being from Africa, there is so much fixing needing to be done. You like fix it. And my second reason would be justice. And I'm going to say justice, reclaiming what's mine. Because in so many different levels, like my father is a philosopher. So with like very early, we started like exploring this deep consciousness and questioning the world, the society, the spiritual. And very young, I started realizing that I don't want the barriers or the predeterminations of this world to determine who I am or how I should live within my community and my people. And I always claim reparation. And when I claim reparation, I claim reparation for the African people and their descendant. So literally everyone got reparation, like in many different cultures. But Africa was literally stripped of his human substance during slavery and during colonization. They took people out of Africa. And who did they take out of Africa? They was the young, the strongest, the healthiest, the most beautiful. And they kind of empty the bucket. They just took people from Africa to develop other nations. And now we look back, we're like, well, Africa is poor. Of course. Well, Africa is broke. Of course, you took the people, because there is no wealth without people. So going back to me is bringing the number. It's bringing the number back where it belongs, because we need the number back to the continent. And my third reason would be for my children, for my son, just have one. I'm like, I don't want him to grow up not feeling the freedom that you mentioned, because you know, you only appreciate what you have when you lose it. And Davier, if you hadn't been to the United States for so long, you probably would have never enjoyed what you have in Africa or what you're going to experience in Africa. I was there, and at some point in my life in Africa, I felt stuck. I felt like I didn't have options. Maybe you experienced that too. And I felt like, well, maybe I should go to Europe. That's where the things are. Maybe I should go to the United States. That's where the education system are. The reason why when I was offered a scholarship, I went to the United States, because I'm like, they sold me in my mind that everything is great. The education system is better in the United States. So when I went to UConn, I could not agree with any of my teachers. I'm like, no, no, this is not right.
And, you know, the eyes, and she has no water to drink with the big fat stomach. See, oh, see, that commercial has been going on for decades now.
Yeah, propaganda.
Yeah, exactly. So that is the story that they've been telling us. Now, when the war was over, when the civil war was over in Africa, they had nothing to say anymore.
Yeah.
Apart from the instigated ones that they were trying to instigate and bring us to like start fighting each other, start killing each other. Now they don't have anything to say. The diasporans, that the people that were taken out of Africa, now they've started to learn where they come from and starting to share with the world that, listen, this is not actually how we were. Before you guys came, we were this. And who were printing those books? Those books were programming. Those books were propaganda. They were twisting our young minds.
And the best propaganda came from the Bible. The best propaganda was the Bible. If we all go back to how did we even get in contact with the white civilization? They came as missionaries. Mm-hmm. That's how they first landed in Africa. They came with that Bible and said, hey, we're very nice. We're here to tell you about God because you guys are pagan. You don't have any God. But trust me, my culture, we've been worshiping so many gods way before the white civilization came through. So many gods. If we're looking into African history, to find, we teach you who God is, because we had known him for so long. We didn't wait. And even when we go back to all this, I'm just going to, it's just, this is so propaganda. They got us so well for so many centuries.
Yeah, they did.
And the thing that really shocked me.
The biggest liar. America is the biggest liar on the planet.
Oh, gosh.
You know, in every way, form, possible, man. It's, and that's why I feel like, the importance of reconnecting, you know, like you say, like spiritually, just imagine, you know, those of us that literally have no idea about, you know, African culture or history. I want to learn my true history. You know, I want to go to a university or a school or a classroom or a professor, or, you know what I mean? I want to go to those people and read the books that they have and just see the difference between a book in America and a book there. And actually, you know what I mean? I want to see that difference. I want to know what the truth is here. How can you read a book about Africa that was written by someone in America or you know, completely Americanized book? That's telling you about Africa. What sense does that make? That doesn't even make any sense. So,
I have a really good book.
Can I ask one question, Davi, about America? Are there poor people in America?
Several. There are poor people here in America, man. They're very impoverished people, very neighborhoods and all over. In several cities. Here in Atlanta, you know, we got poor people, you know what I mean? You got homeless. The homeless population is very high here in Atlanta. And a lot of other, you know, pretty large cities, the homeless population is really bad. And so, yeah, it is poor. It's poor people here now. And why, Victor, why do you ask?
No, because of the, when they want to mention poverty, they just like shine the light on Africa.
I've never seen a show or anything that will show a big thriving city in Africa on American television. I can't even recall. You know how hard I've had to think to recall of something like that, like the cities they have in Ghana, Nigeria, for example. I've never seen that. They don't show that purposefully. They probably will never show that. You know, they'll show other countries and this and that, this and that. But America, the media in particular, is only an influencer of what they want you to think and what they want you to know. That America, in every form and fashion, every corner of America, is used to their leverage of what they want from you. They will not. They don't care about truth anymore. There is no truth in America, especially now as things have gotten more. You know, this new era, this new generation,
dysfunctional.
It's even social media. Everything is to be utilized to get the people to do what we want them to do. that is a very tricky environment to live in. You know, the rulers and the leaders of this nation, they have no, I really feel like they have no soul whatsoever. It's all about utilization. How can we profit? How can we gain access and move forward in whatever their agenda is? Whatever that agenda is, but it's for that agenda. So why would we want to contribute to a nation like this? Instead, use our financial power, use the currency here to leverage our own home. That's the only thing, that's the only purpose I feel America should really bring for the African people, for people, period, you know? And just use it, just like how they're using you, and get out of here.
Oh, yeah. And to go back to history and books, I have a really good referral, Davia. I'll send you this book, but I'll just share it here so people that hear the podcast can also look for it. It's on Amazon. It's a book written by Cheikh Anta Diop is a Senegalese researcher, professor back in the 60s or 50s. And then he did write so many books about African civilization. And he has this book titled The African Origin of Civilization, Myth or Reality. Excellent book. Excellent book. I'll send you the link too. And you can go check that book out and it'll give you some background. Oh, I'll do that. I'll just share the Amazon link here with you guys.
Yeah, I got to get that. Put that knowledge on me.
Oh,
I
want that knowledge. You would absolutely. Amazon.
I'm looking for an herb. Yeah, like, I know Black Panther was, you know, it's a movie, but I'm looking for an herb that does something that I've, you know, it give me, you know, it make me superhuman or something like that. You know, I'm into like herbs, things like that. So, you know, I'm deep into that. I want to go trek in somewhere in the jungle or somewhere in the wild and go pull it fresh out, man. And you know what I mean? Eat it.
Be careful for what you wish for in IBA. There are some herbs. There are a lot of herbs in Africa, and they have different kinds of utility.
The purest soil, you know, and, you know, fresh, organic, natural nature, you know, fresh, organic knowledge. That's what I want. I'm tired of this tainted poison that's been fed to my people, man, here in America. It's all poison. Religion has been tainted, you know what I mean? Everything is just tainted, man. So the things that you see us do here in America, even though it's a thriving country, it's the leader, right, of the world, you know, it's almost like you're looking at a people that have been influenced and manipulated and lied to and used and abused for so long that we don't even know that why we do the things that we do. And I'm sure that y'all can connect to as well, you know, going back home, certain things, you know, in Africa, I'm sure, you know, you definitely don't approve of. And it's because we've all been used and manipulated, but we can help each other now. We can put the dots, we can connect the dots to each other now, because I know this side and you know that side. So let's kind of even put the pieces of the puzzle together, you know, so we can make a masterpiece, man. That's truly why, you know, it's time for us to do this. And we all can do it just with this right here.
Exactly.
Just with this, on the screen and on this phone, they've given us access globally to connect now. You know, that's the worst thing they probably could have ever done.
Yeah.
Right. And just to share a piece of oh gosh, I just lost the thought. Anyway, I have a next question for you guys. It'll come back. What challenges do we face when we made the decision to immigrate back? How about Victor? Victor, start first.
Okay. The challenges we face. One was the people that I shared it with at first. Yeah. Because me and the missus were cool with that. We know, we're going back. So there's no discussing that between us. So when I shared it with my mom was like, my mom is in Africa right now. And she's like, what? What? Are you crazy?
Oh, yeah.
People are fighting every day to get to where you are, and you're saying you're coming back here. after doing a Thanksgiving that you've gone, now you want to come back here. So that seems like,
I can't even picture her saying all that. That's how well I know African mothers. Just can see her with it.
What? Are you crazy? No, let me me hear that again. I said, okay. The good thing is that I've mentioned it to you.
And that's so, your mother.
Yeah, I've mentioned it to you. Okay. So that is okay. But I now started, like, the second challenge was, how do I start? I jumped in the first time. That was like 6-7 years ago. I jumped in. I just moved. I stayed for about 7-8 months. Man, this is not how I planned it. I came back. So I started learning from my mistakes. What I need, I need revenue. I had no investment then. So what I need revenue, I need income, I need consistent income, predictable ones to be coming in. So okay, if I can conquer this challenge, then I'm good. I jumped back in, I prepared myself again. About 2 years, I went back in. I opened a restaurant. I was trained with doing CCTV back then. Uh-huh. So got there. I had a few guys that I was working with.
What is CCTV?
Oh, CCTV, closed circuit TV.
Okay.
Yeah. Closed circuit TV. So it's just for security surveillance.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went into that. So I was just dabbling in different businesses, but I failed. The only one that is still existing right now is the partnership on the CCTV aspect, uh-huh, which is still going on right now. Uh-huh. So when that's my second challenge of like creating a sustainable business. Uh-huh. So the first one was who was your environment, who are you speaking to? The second was having sustainable income. Uh-huh. Because at first I was thinking I needed a huge sum of money to like just jump back in. So I saved and sold some stuff and I moved back. But the money was just
Spent.
I ran through it. Yeah. And that was the wrong move. Mm-hmm. I came back and I started like creating businesses. And also because I was not physically present, most of the businesses died off naturally. Mm-hmm. Because I was not physically present. So now we've started like, I'm now doing partnerships with people. So to conquer the second challenge. And how I conquered the first, I know you didn't ask me, but how I conquered the first challenge was that I started building a network of people who actually have that same vision of moving back.
Exactly. You need that.
Yeah, or connecting with people that are on ground who moved back and are also thriving. So learning from their mistake. So instead of me to going back home and to my hometown, I had to stay in Lagos, which is far away from my hometown because of the expectations of mm-hmm. ABC from me, because I just came back from England, so they are expecting heaven and earth from me. Mm-hmm. But living in Lagos with the same mindset, with the same people, the environment is very charged up. Mm-hmm. That it is a get go. Mm-hmm. There's no time. We'll have drinks in the evening, but when we wake up in the morning, it is a go. Let's go. What are we doing today? So that is the type of environment that I like. That is where I thrive. That is where that's where I come alive. Mm-hmm. Again. So I challenged, I overcame that first challenge of my circle back home with the network. And number two, now I'm more into partnerships mm-hmm. and creating stuff. So even though I'm not there, we have the same goal, have the same vision. So that is the second challenge and how I got over that challenge. Then the last one was the fear of what I already know, mm-hmm. which is the basic stuff of, I already know about the electricity situation. I already know about water. I already know about security. I already know about the stuff that you hear on media. Mm-hmm. I already know about them. Mm-hmm. And for for us I keep saying Nigeria because that is where my major focus is. For us in Nigeria, we've been our own government. We've been taking care of ourselves. We build our own borehole, we use our own tap water to drink. We generate our own electricity. We have our own security. So I already know that. So bringing that as a challenge for me, I've already conquered that. So that's not a challenge. It's there, but it's not a challenge to me anymore because, that is something that's for other people, not for me anymore because
you've conquered that.
I will kill that. Yeah. So those are the three challenges I can remember right now.
Okay. What are your challenges right now, Davia?
My challenges, if I feel like would be resources. You need to know somebody there. You need to know where you're going. You need to know how you're going to create streams of income. And I speak for other diasporans, as well. So those are the challenges. Resources, networking, income, starting your business, everything that we offer, me and Margaret, everything that we
that
provide.
That was what I do with that, yay. I almost want to tell you, call Margaret. She has stuff for you.
Yeah, come on. That's why we started this engine, because those are the challenges. Those are the challenges to get that ball rolling, to actually stop talking about it, stop dreaming about it, stop wishing, but actually know somebody, shake hands, make conversations, make investments. Buy those tickets, go see that land, go see that home, get something, start to create, start to produce. And those are the challenges right there. So that's with that assistance, any assistance towards that can speed up the process, it can fast forward. So everybody ain't just sitting around talking about doing something, but we actually going now, you know what I mean? Getting done.
Yeah.
So those are the only challenges right there. And that's easy too. Thanks to that phone once again. Online, baby, you can find people all over Africa, all over the continent, and you can definitely reach us and hit us up. And we can get that ball rolling for you, no excuses, You don't want any excuses, And also fear, Margo. Second would be
fear.
Fear, the challenge of the unknown. Where you've never seen or what you've never, never been. That's a mental challenge. That's a psychological challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a lot of people suffer from as well, being victims of the situation where they're from and where we all have geographically been, whatever system you've been a part of, whatever lies they done pumped in your head, psychologically. And on a spiritual level, on a personal level, you have to overcome those mental blockages so you can finally be the person that you were supposed to be and contribute to the overall purpose of your people, And so that's another challenge as well, just resources and the second one, which I said was
fear.
Fear. Yeah.
All right. So my challenges are readapting. So I've been away for so long, and I've developed mechanism to live in the U.S. that are specific for me developing so I can live here. And when I was in France, I've also developed different mechanism to live in the French society. So I kind of put coats and coats and like blankets over my head and over and over and over. And then now when I go back, I'm like, if I go back to Senegal, what am I going to do? Am I putting another thing over my head to try to readapt to the society, or am I lifting everything out and be my true self? So to me, it's readapting to the fact that traffic will be extremely slow and I'm going to be bam, beep, beep, beep. I was like, oh my God, like, brother, what are you doing? Why are you driving this way? And the other one is going to be, what? No power again? Third times today? Yeah. Luckily, the storm, Isaiah, gave me a chill me down about it. I'm like, okay, if I've been in the United States like 4 days, almost 5 days with that power, I can survive in Africa. I can literally do it again. So it's this readapting mechanism. Am I going to reconnect with my friends again? Luckily, I have great friends. They still love me. And I'm like, am I going to leave? Is this city going to be fine? Am I going to find the right entertainment? And at the same time, I'm like, you know what? I've been here for like a year. I've been to a bar one time. So I probably not going to have. So it's just readapting to the culture that I left. And now that I came, I'm coming back. I have grown. I have like these new ideas that's probably going to be different to other people point views or customs and traditions. So it's more like readapting. And at the same time, I enjoy being free. When I say free, freedom is everything to me in Africa. That's where I feel the most myself. But also, I don't want to feel locked down in there so I cannot go back to a different place. I think as a human, and also this is part of me as just a human being, is that the world needs to open up to Black people, to just our skin complexion, to just say, hey, you can travel and be in France and become a French and be part of that place and culture if you choose to. Because you guess what? And when I was living in France, for example, if you have a routine control, someone is visiting from Australia, they're more likely going to ask me for my IDs than ask the white person from Australia, though I was there for so long and my families and, you know, are French. So it's like, I want us as African people also, no matter where we go on earth, so they can just say, hey, you're just human and you can belong here too. So that's the other fight of mine, is that I want to be a global citizen. I want to be able to choose where I'm going to live and be accepted, not even accepted, be tolerated, because accepted now, this isn't the fight of my generation. I don't think it's going to be. I think it's going to be three generations down. So Black people will now fight to be global citizens, but now we're fighting to be just, to be given the right to be Black and to be not murdered. So it's just the right to be alive. So this is probably our generational fight to be alive and just fighting to be alive as Black person. But then maybe down the road, my descendant will be fighting for the universal right of being Black and also be accepted universally and be able to be free universally, like in any place. Because like if you're a white person, you go to Africa, they're not limiting you. It's like you can literally go to Africa the way you want. It's like just you don't even need a visa in most of countries. But if you're an African, you're trying to go to any white country, you cannot just buy a flight ticket and travel. You can't. So immigrating back home, like readapting to the culture is my main fear, like fear and challenge.
What I would say to that is readapting to your culture. Like when on one of these times, I think it was the second time we went to Africa, me and my family and my boy was saying, was the first time he saw everywhere went were Black people.
Oh.
Everywhere went there were Black people. He's seen different type of cars, black people. I say, honey, is this Nigeria? I say, yes. Oh, okay. Say, why? There's so many Black people.
he's telling the truth, man.
Everybody. Again, when we go out to maybe a resort and in the pool, Black people. It was like
I love that kid.
And it's not like you go to this neighbor's house, they have the same kind of gadgets that you have in London. They have the PS3 or the PS4. They're still playing games. They're still doing the same stuff that you're doing. Okay. The next time we're going back, the guy carried his own PS4. I took the PS4 back. At first, I remember they were having a conversation. I didn't pay attention to it, like how are they going to survive in Nigeria? They want us to carry fools. They want us to carry this. I was like, where do you think we're going?
And I said,
I carry different stuff. I'm like, okay. What is that for? Just in case of this. So the readaption, I understand what you mean by readapting, because
I won't be taking back a bottle of water. I promise. I'm not gonna take a bottle of water to Africa. But it's more
like I'm taking that too. Okay. And there's this thing that that'd be a funny thing, Margaret. It's funny. So we know we have this bottled milk on the jug of milk. And in Nigeria, it's mostly powdered milk.
Mm-hmm.
The powdered milk. So it's like you just take the scoop, the spoon, and pour it the water. We don't really like drink milks like that in Africa. So, and these guys, they do. So we now bought the powdered milk. They didn't touch it for like 1 week. And they say, well, no milk, no milk. I said, well, that is milk. Said, no, that is the fake one. I thought, really? which one is the right one? And that brought out their phone and just like, they showed me the one that we buy in England. I said, okay. I said, don't worry, I'll get that for you tomorrow. I said, okay. So I went out to get those bottled water. I just like took the milk. Just took some, pour it in, into the bottle of water. I just shake them. Yeah, just got about 2-3, put them in the fridge. And when they saw that in the morning, we were like, yes! We've got milk. Said, yes, we've got milk. I said, yes, we've got milk. Go use that. Oh, you kind of say something, yeah, go use that.
That was too funny.
You just need to adapt.
That is so funny. Oh, I like that. Oh, that's gonna be wonderful. And
you will survive.
Oh yeah, we've already covered my next question, which was how to overcome those challenges. If I ever need tips again, I'll just call Victor. I'm like, Victor, here's the situation home, and tell us how do we do that. I know you guys are busy gentlemen, so I'm just going to go with what are the recommendations and advices that you would give to brothers and sisters looking to immigrate back?
Me first?
Go ahead, Fer, please.
I would my advice would be, I don't know if others, everyone is interested in genealogy tests or things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people want to take that approach as well. So you just don't just go adventure or just pick and choose a nation out of 54 countries, you know, the largest continent in the world. If you're really going back, you know, I say the largest continent in the world, but the second largest, I think the first one is Antarctica, I think, or something like that. So I consider Africa as almost the largest real one, because you can't live on Antarctica.
No.
But so if you want to really reconnect and go back, you know, you can go a genealogy test. I actually took one just to see. And it said that 80% of the people, my bloodline, whatnot, my heritage, whatnot, is geographically from Nigeria. You know, 80% Nigeria.
I knew it. You look like one of Nigeria's.
It was massive to me. So I was like, okay, I have to see Nigeria, you know, I have to, you know, go and see and be there and develop it and you know, for that spiritual connection, you know, let's see if the test was actually, you know, real. And I know I will be able to know when I visit. I feel like I would really truly know. But so people can to go that route, you know, or build your network, you know. Build your network, reach out to, you know, us, people like us, other brothers and sisters, like you said, Victor, you know, other brothers and sisters that can connect with your mindset, your drive, your ambition, your goal, you know what I mean? And have that team and you go, you know, whether they be here in the States and they go with you or they be in Africa. But build your network, you know, and truly just you know, just really what is your goal for going, you know, and whatever that true goal is, you know, you make sure you stay, you know, you stick with your plan. And you execute, you know, that's basically what it is to me. I feel like if you really want to reconnect, find out where you want to go, find out good people in that area or good people with the same ideas that you have and want to reconnect with you, want to reconnect to, and you build that team. Like I say, man, we all over the place, you know, we're global, man. So, you know, I always say reach out to a new win, you know, I always do that. That's just automatic. The fact that we created something like this, and Victor, you as well, you know, we promote and encourage that reconnection, man, that exodus. I want, you know, get out of here and go thrive, you know, here you're just trying to survive, you know, in Africa, you can truly thrive, you know, that freedom, you know, we're living in fear of being harassed and taken advantage of, man. I can't, you know, y'all know now, because I know in UK you feel it too. Marguerite, you feel it, you know exactly.
And now I know. let me tell you something. When I was working in a corporate, because you could go to this board meeting, like they were introducing the new hires to people, and I was sitting on this table, like there's a lot of bunch of people, the owners of the company say, oh, our companies are truly diverse, and everyone was looking at me. And I was looking at everyone else. I was like, yeah, where's the diversity? I was the diversity. You know? I was the diversity. And later on, I'm like, yeah, so he meant me, really. He was saying, I am the diversity. Here, I am exotic, you know? It's fun. But, I mean, in Africa, I'm not exotic. And I got, like, you know, and then when I was looking for housing and all that, I didn't know there's certain places where Black people should be going. And I was told later on, but a family member, she said, she's also a therapist. She's like, when you want to live with your child who is like mixed race, you want to go to a place where there's going to be diversity. You'll see Indians and Asians and all that. That's a good neighborhood for you. Don't go to white neighborhood. I'm like, I don't even know which one is white neighborhood or Black neighborhood. So how do you expect me to? So now I know that, yeah, there's limits. There's places you can really go and not be harassed or just not find some slurs on your window or it's real. I didn't realize that. I was kind of living in the haze, like on a little bubble, and I didn't know. I'm like, oh, really? And then I start asking my African-American friends and colleagues. I'm like, well, what's the deal here? Because now I feel like I'm African. I'm not. I'm like, and they're telling me, yeah, you know, we tell our kids, boys, when you go out, watch out for the police, they'll kill you. We tell for our you know, Black kids, you know, you can't, they cannot go to these type of schools, because if it's just white school, predominantly white, they're going to be teased and tear down for being Black. And I'm like, are you kidding? So you guys have been living, telling this, you people, your kids, that you can't go in a white neighborhood or see police run away, they'll kill you. I'm like, what is going on in this country? And that really hit me, like, in the face. It was like a small, like, slap on my face 2 years ago. And this is the second year. I'm like, now I'm like, oh, no, I don't want my brain to be used to this type of life. I don't want to wire my brain to be afraid for being Black. You know what? I'm like, it was scary in France, similar things, but in a milder, lighter level. But here, it's insane. It really is out of, it's not real to me. I'm like, how do you leave that? I just can't wrap my head around that thing. Because you have to leave being afraid that they're going to kill your son when he goes out and when he meets the cops and they have to run away or just bury their head in the sand. I'm like, it's real.
Several stories, Margot.
So that's how you, I'm going to say that's how you, I'm like, that's how people, Black people have been living here for centuries. I'm like, do you realize how insane it is? This is not normal. It's not normal. I mean, in Africa, it's not like that. I know we're considered behind, Black, and far away, underdeveloped. It's not normal. I just want Black people to know this is a normal. Even in Europe, you don't live like this. Even if you feel stuck in your life, free yourself from the mental slavery. Bob Marley used to say it's the mental slavery, because we are like maybe physically free or to some extent, but the hardest part is the mental freedom. And that's what people need to free themselves from. It's the hardest part, because you might feel like wearing beautiful clothes and walking around. By the way, Davy, if you go to Africa, bring your best clothes, because people love to dress nice. If you just bring your like, okay.
Don't bring.
Bring. You can get there. Oh, there we go.
You see, Davy, you see like this. Don't bring. This is us.
If I have a couple minutes, I'll go back and wear my nice stuff too because I have beautiful. We're good. We'll hook you up.
We've got tailors that will design us, will measure you, and give you what you actually.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. That's even better.
That's what I want. Just go with just t-shirts and we will fashion you up, right?
Yes.
There we go. I love that.
No. Don't worry about that. In Africa, the proof.
It's beautiful.
You're covered.
That's exactly what I want, man. I'm really looking forward to that.
We've got good designers, good tailors. Yeah. No. Good.
And we also have ready to wear. We have ready to wear typical things.
Good.
Yeah, same.
If it's not your feet, they'll make it your feet. So, don't worry about that.
Oh, great. I love that. Yeah. Oh, man, that's great. Well, there we go. You don't even need to bring too much. So, don't bring milk. Don't bring too many clothes.
Don't bring too many clothes.
Good. That's a good piece of advice. And, well, freedom in the mindset.
Yeah. So just to add to that. The things that are actually going on in the US is being portrayed as that is how Black people are treated all over the world. It is not. That is just the US treating Black people like shit, just like that, simple.
Yeah.
In Africa, it's not like that. We have our own conflict, we have our own challenges there. That is that. But we fight, we quarrel, but for you to walk on the street and be scared, no, it doesn't happen anywhere in Africa, except it's a war zone, which is a no-go area. You know there's actual conflict and you don't go and there's curfews. Yeah, so that is it. But Africa is free. Africa is freedom. Africa is open for everyone who wants to come to Africa. You get. And if you've not been to Africa before and you want to like make up your mind, there are different books. There is one that was launched, I think, was last month by a couple of friends of mine. It's called In Pursuit. In Pursuit. African Impossible Journeys of African Entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great book. How they manage, they are from Nigeria, but they work on Wall Street, and they had to move back to Nigeria to do some business. So you just spoke about their journeys. The context was in Nigeria. So how crazy the ride was. You just hear about their story and their journey there on the book, and just read the book and give you some more light on how to like navigate that. Another place to like start making up your mind is the summit that you guys are part of, which is Move Back to Africa Summit, for where we have more conversation about moving back to Africa, things that you need to know, things you need to learn about Africa. If I would say, if you want, you need to like actually, what you said, Major, was great. Know what you actually want. Because if you want a peace, quiet life, where you just want to like serenity. And probably Nigeria is not really, Nigeria should not be your first point of call. Why I'm saying this is because
hustle, baby.
Nigeria is really for the hustlers. If you want to build something, we don't need saving. We don't need saving in Nigeria. If you come and build, hustle. You get. That is what Africa. Come and build. We don't need. You probably get. If you want to build, what's it called? $1 million company. You have the skills there to support your business to grow. So long you can actually drive it, you have people there who can actually like support you to move forward. See, they don't speak too much English. Let's just do this now and just let's go.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not into that lifestyle, there's Ghana, which is kind of
cool
for you to go. And just be testing, you test stuff. Ghana, you can have a feel of Nigeria in Ghana. If you are in certain circle, you have a feel of how the hustle is supposed to be when you're in Lagos, but you're in Ghana. Yeah. Then you have the Gambia, you have Senegal, and you have another interesting place like Kenya. Mm-hmm.
Kenya is mellow.
You have South Africa, you have Uganda. So Africa is huge. That is. It has everything for everyone.
Yeah, everyone.
Everything for everyone.
And if you're also more coastal.
If you can't bear the heat, you can go more south or more east of Africa and you get more of the cold. And if that is what you want a cool temperature, you want a cool climate, yeah, you better go more east Africa or southeastern Africa. And you want the beach lifestyle.
Yeah, there we go.
You have the Madagascar, you have the Seychelles, you have
Cabo Verde.
So if that is the lifestyle you want, it is there for you. We're not even mentioning North Africa.
Exactly, Morocco.
Yeah, we have Tunisia, we have Morocco, we have Egypt, we have what's it called?
Algeria.
Yeah, so everything is there for everyone. So all you have to do is choose. Just choose.
And if it's hard for you to choose, call us. We'll help you choose. We'll help you narrow down all this. Our African Investment Network really assists people in repatriation in Africa. And we have right now customers that we work with that are looking to repatriate within 12 months, some of them within 6 months. So we really assist people repatriating in Africa, help them narrow down the city based on their interests, based on their professional careers or ambitions and all that. So really, you have options. You are not alone anymore. You can go online and connect with the African Investment Network, connect with a New Wind. You can connect with Victor. He has right now his summit for going back home, summit right now going. And email us. Just ask the question. You start with a simple question. Give a call, a text, or email, or even comment on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. You have so many options, but most of all, know that you are not alone in this. So I think we've made it all the way to the end of this. Can you believe that? It was a fantastic conversation.
Really? That fast?
That fast, I'm telling you. Now we get to say our final thoughts or words, and if you have any.
What I would say is, if you're thinking about going or moving to Africa, it begins with one step. And the step is get in touch with Marguerite, get in touch with Davia, or do myself. There's so many channels on Instagram, Facebook, or even send us a message on, I don't know, WhatsApp. See, just ask a question and just get around people with like minds. It may be 12 months, it may be 24 months, but know that you have a working plan. And Marguerite, Davia, or myself can help you to achieve this.
Absolutely.
I agree completely, Victor. I want to say to everyone watching, if you are viewing this, it's not by coincidence. You know, none of this is by coincidence. You know, you also are just like us. You know, you want to connect and you want to reunite with your people. You know, and with your continent, with your home. So don't hesitate. You know, and now that we have this, you know, all of us are all over the world now. Us three right here are completely different locations. So there is no reason to feel as if wherever you are, it's going to be hard. Financial issue that's, you know, in time, you know, save, that can also be available. You know, to still travel, even if finances are difficult, give it time, you know, plan ahead and prepare. Reach out to us and others and truly just build that network. And once you build that network, you know, and you get those resources and you know why you want to go, don't hesitate, because more than likely what you plan on doing will probably go well. You know what I mean? If you properly prepare yourself, the opportunities available are unlimited. You know, so don't limit yourself here any longer. You know, grow and progress and succeed, feeling like a true human and true, you know, and love for yourself by experience in Africa. You know, that's where you will truly see. I feel like you will truly see the love for who you are, the love of being African. You know, you can't feel that anywhere else other than in Africa. It's impossible. So it's you know, let's do it. You know, that's what I want to say. Just do it.
Yeah. Oh, those are great words and thoughts. I really have nothing to add upon that. It's just beautiful. And thank you so much for making it this long with a new wind, a renouveau in French. And see you soon on other podcasts. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you.